Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We'll read two verses in just a moment. One is in Matthew and the other is in Luke. You know, you ever read the Bible and wish God hadn't put some things in there? There's several things that God said that I wished we didn't have to do, but He has told us to do them and give us some instructions about them, and they're in the Word of God, so we must do our very best to obey and fulfill what God has told us. In chapter 7, now you can stand up if you want to stand so long. You may stand now, okay, if you want to, in reverence for the Word of God. Verse 12, chapter 7, this is part of the Sermon on the Mountain that begins in chapter 5, preached by the Lord Jesus Himself. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 6. And verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. We call that the what? The golden rule. Now, the Bible doesn't call it a golden rule, but it is a good rule to live by. It's a good guideline to live by. And we have referred to it over the years as the golden rule. In both of those passages, Jesus is echoing the truth, the same message recorded by Matthew and Luke, and it's important for us to record it ourselves in our hearts and our minds and to get a hold of what the Lord's trying to say to us. The more I read the Bible and the more I live and the longer I live, the more I'm aware of how important it is to try to understand a little better what God's trying to say. And this is a tough one. If you don't think it is, just hang on for just a few minutes and we'll see. Father, bless the Word of God. Speak to our hearts, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may be seated. While the kids were going out a while ago, just in a few weeks, hopefully, we'll have back on schedule our midweek program, and our children have class to go to regularly, and we're looking forward to that. So pray for the folks as they get ready for that and meet with our workers. And after Labor Day, things sort of crank up in a little different direction on Wednesday night. So be praying for it if you would. I'd appreciate it so much. This is one of the most famous statements ever made by the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. In essence, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Let's say it together. Ready? Now, men have praised it by calling it the golden rule. Unsaved men sometimes use the golden rule. Even in life, you'll find in business, people will say, now, let's live by the golden rule. But the only saved people really can get a hold of what it really means. And then when we get a hold of it, we don't always fulfill it. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Sometimes writers, as you study, find out, they'll say, well, it's not really a rule, it's a principle. Well, out of this rule that I'll give you in just a moment comes the principle to live by. The Christian life is to be lived one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, and we live the Christian life every day, come follow me daily, take up your cross daily. And the whole idea of the Christian life is to become just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I know not when that shall be, but one day I'll be perfectly in His image. I've been conformed, predestined to be conformed to the dear image of God's dear Son. So one day I'm supposed to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ in every make and model of what He is to us. He is our image that we're striving for. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, pressing to be like Him more and more every day of our life. Sometimes we do well. Sometimes we falter along the way. Sometimes we mess it up for a while. And I mean that honestly. Sometimes we're living the Christian life and we felt like we could never sin again. And the old flesh causes us to do something. And then the Bible comes back with these commandments or wonderful statements by the Lord Jesus Christ, like, pray for those that despitefully use you and say all manner of against you falsely for my sake. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad for people misusing you and mistreating you That don't sound right. What I want to do is fight back. What my flesh wants to do is to get even. And the Bible tells us over and over again about certain things that we ought to do. He gives us 10 commandments in the Old Testament, and everything is built on the prophets and the law. And the greatest law of God is found in one word. We'll get to it in just a minute. One word sums up the whole biblical precepts of what God wants us to do. At the top of the page, I put the golden rule, a famous statement made true by Jesus Christ that all of us are aware of. It is a way of life. It's a gauge to our actions. This scripture can help us gauge what kind of Christian we are. If we had a barometer or a ruler, what we had on that ruler, what we had on the scale, are we more like Jesus today than was when we started, or are we worse off? Do we desire to be like Jesus Christ? Do we know what it means to be like Jesus Christ? Do I know what it means to be like Jesus Christ? All of us have a goal, and that goal is God, and that goal is to become more and more like Him day after day, week after week, month after month. It's called the Golden Rule. Let me read it again. Chapter 6, verse 31. And so as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. It is not just a rule, but it is a golden truth. When I say it's not a golden rule, it doesn't say golden rule in the Bible. Sometimes we pick up terminology and we use it and I think it doesn't hurt the scriptures. It's a golden rule. It's probably the greatest, one of the greatest rules ever given and one of the greatest truths ever echoed by man. But the golden rule is really another form of a great statement he made in the Old Testament. It's just not the New Testament. He goes all the way back to the Old Testament. So let's turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 and read a verse of scripture two in the Old Testament, one in Leviticus and the other in Deuteronomy. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. This is the Lord speaking. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then to top it all off, he says, I am the Lord. And you read Leviticus chapter 18, 19, 17 through there. He ends every sentence with, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And he says, thou shalt love the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt with all thy might love him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and soul and with all thy might. Let me get my Bible over here so I can read it one more time. I had my glasses changed today and they're working on me. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Would you read that together when we're ready? All right. All the men just read that verse. Ready? And women, ladies, would you read, please? And then the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. Matthew, chapter 22. We're going all the way from Leviticus through Deuteronomy. Now we're in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus speaking himself. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the two greatest commandments in the world, one is to love God completely and totally. And then secondly is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, do we? Now, who is your neighbor? It's a good question. Is it the person who just lives right beside you? Or is it anybody that you come in contact with this world? You can debate who your neighbor is, but in essence, he says, I want you to love God. I want you to love everybody. And when you start thinking about loving everybody and loving your neighbor, and I think about sometimes in my lifetime, not now, but over the years, there's been some neighbors that you didn't particularly like. You ever had a neighbor you didn't like? You ever have a neighbor that sort of just gave you a fit? Did you ever have a neighbor that you wished didn't live beside you? Did you ever have a neighbor so bad that you moved? You ever have a neighbor that just bugged you to death, doing things that they shouldn't do? And then the Bible comes right back around and says, to love thy neighbor as thyself. That doesn't mean you have to tolerate what they do and that you have to condone what they do. One of the biggest problems Christians have, and we all do, is looking beyond people and their ways and seeing a creature for whom Jesus died. The Lord loves me completely and solely. He loves you completely and solely. And He loves every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in the world. And I've talked about this in recent days. It's hard for me to get a handle sometimes on that truth, that He loves everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The word world means mankind. God loves all of mankind and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So now He comes back to the teachings of to the disciples and to the multitudes that gathered from time to time. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. But the first great commandment is to love me with all your heart. The Ten Commandments are broken down in 6 and 4. There's 6 of them that relate to man. 4 relates to God. The first 4 relate to God. The Ten Commandments of the Old Testament given to Moses. And those Ten Commandments are there for guide and guarding in our life. And many things have been founded upon the Ten Commandments. Many nations have. Our country was founded upon the Ten Commandments. Loving God with all your heart. He said, I want you to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. This is the first commandment of man. So one of the first things we'll do every day in our life when we get up is say these words, Lord, I love you. Now, I've asked you a question. Let me answer the question or ask another question. Have you said that to the Lord any time today? Lord, I love you. And the Bible says we're to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. If that's true, then He should be the first person that comes to our mind in the morning. He should be the first person we start talking to before we do anything else. Now, we don't always fulfill that. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we're just still sleepy. Sometimes we drag around for a while trying to get awake. But somewhere along the way in the morning, or whenever you get up in the evening or in the night, whatever your schedule is, there ought to be a refreshing in your mind. Lord, I love you. I love you. And spend a little bit of time just loving Him a little bit. I think it would affect our day. I think it would help our day go better just to say, I love you. And then you're going over some people in your mind and you think somebody that you don't like. And Lord, I love, and you call their name. Lord, do I really have to love them? Lord, do you really mean that I've got to love them? They're the second most important love people in my life is my neighbor. You're a priority, but I've got to love people like I love myself. Well, how do you love yourself? You love yourself? I mean, I take a bath every day. I brush my teeth. I shave every day. I get dressed every day. I look in the mirror and say, well, what a handsome man that is. And then I open my eyes and say, what a mistake I made. But I've been made physically in the image of God from the dust of the world, dust of the earth. I was made in the image of God. And God made me to be just like Him in eternity, whatever all that may mean. I may not be able to grasp it. But when Jesus was alive on earth and before He went back to heaven, He told His disciples, come follow me as I live the life. You come follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men. Come follow me. I want you to become just like me. He's our pattern. He's our poster child, if I could put it that way without being unkind to the Lord Jesus. He's the poster man that we're supposed to be like. You follow the teaching of Jesus Christ, it would change the world. If we could follow what is called the golden rule and the other rules in that whole several chapters, He says to go the second mile with somebody. And that's a tough one also, but especially the golden rule, the law and the prophets. Jewish leaders were extreme legalists as they got more and more closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and a lot of religious people. And they made up laws to keep. One of them was this: if my wife burns the biscuits, it's subject for divorce. And all the men would say, amen. That's a good preaching right there. But they would also have a commandment like, nobody's supposed to be healed on the Sabbath day, because that's work. And Jesus fulfilled that particular command in breaking it in their mind and healing on the Sabbath day. They had all kind of several hundred little commandments that were added to, and they're called legalists, to live right, not necessarily to be saved by, but to to live a certain way. You got to keep all these commandments. After a while, you're going to find yourself getting frustrated and fall by the wayside. I don't want to be like the Pharisee. Don't want to be like the hypocrite. And the Pharisees would say, I don't want to be like this man over here. I said, he's not good at all. I fast every day. I love the Lord. I love my God. And he goes through all the motions of loving somebody, but he has trouble living right. He has trouble following the commands of loving his neighbor as himself, and looks down on them, brags about himself. The old sinner over here says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. He recognizes who he is and what he is, and realizes he has a need in his life, and that's to have a relationship with God. And so the golden rule is really another form of sin. The great statement of the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18, Deuteronomy 6, 5, Matthew 22, 37, and 39, and all through the Bible, if you can sum it up in one word, it's love, just simply love. And the Bible says God is love. I was asked years ago, I think it was Fred's brother, years ago when he was in college, he wrote me a letter and says, Pastor, said, if you would for me, I need to have the answer to this. Would you give me your definition of love? Well, that's a pretty big, powerful statement to ask somebody. What would you say? What's the definition of love? Well, you can look it up in the dictionary and probably come up with one that they have there. And I simply said to Harold in a letter of return, my definition is simply this: God is love. Period. I can't explain it altogether. I can't digest it altogether. I don't understand it altogether. But God is the epitome that love is. All that love can be and is, God is. He was a lot of things. I know that. The Bible says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the shepherd, good shepherd, and so forth. But he is the greatest lover that's ever lived in this world. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so, all those petty rules of trying to keep them, fine to keep the rules if that's what you think you ought to do. But have a love relationship with God. But seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The New Testament writers took this as their golden rule. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Let's read a few verses there. Thank you for your patience tonight. Romans, written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome, chapter 13, verse 8 through 9. Owe no man anything. That's a good statement to make. But to love one another. By the way, just stop right there and just say, I love you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now he's saying, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. It's the second commandment is like that, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he adds, he says, when you love one another, you fulfill the law. You are practicing what I want you to practice. I want you to become a person that loves individuals. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. There should not be any other. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There it pops up again. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How do you get along with people? How do you get along with a neighbor? Sometimes it becomes an impasse. Sometimes you have so much trouble, you never get along at all. I'm glad the Bible says to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within you to do so. There's some folks you may not be able to live peacefully with, but you ought to give you very heart and very desire is to fulfill the law of God and let them know you love them. Sometimes when they react one way, when they cuss you, you don't have to cuss back, right? You say, well, they deserve to cuss, and maybe they did, but you probably deserve one yourself over the period of your life. You say, well, I don't like them. How come you don't like them? Because they mistreated me. How did they mistreat you? Well, they yelled at me, and they cussed me, and they told my kids to stay out of their yard. So you don't love them? Well, yeah, I love them, but I don't love them a whole lot. I just love them a little bit. He says, to love thy neighbor, did you love yourself? Well, yeah, I love myself. Somewhere in this whole equation is what I said at the opening statement. It is difficult to get a hold of grasp the truth of what God was trying to say. But he wants us to be just like him. He wants us to love everybody. I was passing out a track last night, and the man beside the wall, just standing there down the street here. And I started to go into business without talking to him, but I stopped and talked to him a little while. And I gave him a track, and he says, Pastor. And I said, by the way, I asked him his name. He told me his name. I asked him if he's a Christian. He said, yes. But I gave him a track, and he says, thank you for the track. And I want to put it right here in my back of my satchel. I said, are you got a home? He says, no, I'm on the street. He never asked for a dime, never asked for anything. But he's very kind, and not all of them are like that. Sometimes folks aggravate you. Sometimes you got to decide whether to give them money or take them to a restaurant or give them food. I had a guy over here at McDonald's begging for money. And so finally, I decided one time, some other guys have done the same thing. I'm going to give you $5 to go in and get a meal, okay? He said, oh, thank you, preacher, thank you. I said, I'm going to stand right here to go do it. And if you don't go do it, I'm going to get my money back. I'd come and get it. You go get it back to me. Are you hungry? He said, yes, I'm hungry. So he went up toward McDonald's. So I got in a car, and I drove around McDonald's. And I come back, and he was going up the street. So I pulled up beside him and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going home. I said, I thought you was going to eat McDonald's. I don't like McDonald's. He said, I was going to go across the street to the pizza place, whatever it is, across the street. Well, I said, get in the car. And he said, what you mean, get in the car? I said, get in the car. And I wouldn't do this to everybody. Get in the car. He got in the car, and I drove him over to the restaurant. I walked in, whoever was in the counter. I said, this man needs something to eat. What do you want? Number one, number two, number three, number four, which one do you want? He told the guy at the counter. And I said, now, order his meal. I'm going to pay for it. Now, you sit right there, and you behave yourself. And you'll enjoy this meal. You've got to be careful. You can love somebody without loving what they do. And you know where he's probably going to go. Get a few dollars to go get some drugs. And that's the flesh. But you still love him because he's a sinner for whom Jesus died for. Some of the greatest Christians in all the world have been destitute, been down, been homeless, drunks, and addicts, and et cetera. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? You're sitting here today, some of you have been down that road. Know exactly what it's like. And so loving each other, people don't care what you say unless they know you care. If you know you care, if they know you care, would Jesus talk to the guy beside the street? Several years ago in Lynchburg, Virginia, Dr. Jerry Falwell, when he was still living, and the church was fundamental back in those days, he disguised himself and sat on the front steps. He disguised himself as a bum. His own church, and waited for the congregation to come in. And he sat there at about time to start church, and he walked in the church, and then he took off his garb and came out in his suit. He said, my message today is love thy neighbor as thyself. And some of you never showed any kind of expression to the guy on the street. Right at the door when you come through, you never said hi, you never said good morning, you never spoke any kind words. Are you better than he is? Were it not for the grace of God, you'd be on your way to hell. Were it not for God's grace, you wouldn't have anything either. So don't snub your nose and look down your nose at somebody else and say, I'm better than you are. The only reason why I can say I'm better is not because of me. It's because of the grace of God and because Jesus Christ made the difference in my life and your life. So sometimes folks come to church who just need somebody to look them in the face and say, I love you. I'm not saying just giving them money all the time. You use your own discretion. Somebody will ask, preacher, should you give people money? You just make the judgment. And if you give money, then you make a wrong judgment. What's the end? It's not going to kill you. If you give somebody $5 and they don't use it right, you don't want them to, but they may still do that and break your heart. You still love them. You still care for them. You may not give them $5 next time because they didn't do what they said at this time. But trying to love humanity, all 8 billion of us lumped together right now in the world. And sometimes I'm having difficulty with all the change of the culture system. what evil, wicked people are doing, and still trying to love them and win them to grace. Now, some folks are turned over to reprobate mind. After a while, the Lord said, I'm through with it myself. And I may not be able, you may not either be able to do something with somebody like that. But there are evil, wicked people. They were terrible, low as you could go. And yet, God says, love mankind, love the world, and love thy neighbor as thyself. So, the New Testament emphasized what the Old Testament meant. So, the prophets and the law come together to give us the royal law of God. So, turn to the book of James, chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law, now back in just this passage I read, he says you fulfill the law. Here James calls it the royal law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's the next three words? You do well. You do well. To love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to go on a neighborhood loving campaign, probably. There are several of our neighbors we've met. Some we have not met. Some are building our subdivision. We'll meet them shortly. Everybody ought to be able to know that somebody at least come by and knocked on your door, knocked on their door. The street you live on, would it be a good mission field to knock on every door on that street? It may take you a while. It may take you several days or several weeks to get it done. But you may do it all in one evening. Just knock on their door, everybody that's your neighbor, and say, hi, I'm your neighbor. Well, we met, we not met, so you introduce yourself, they introduce themselves. Some of the greatest relationships all the world were made like that. Most of you know Brother Jason Harvey will be with us for our women's retreat, his wife. And Jason, his wife, lived right above us. And we got acquainted, Jason and I did. And Jason and his wife eventually came to church. And we thank God they did. And God rededicated their life to God and became servants in the church. He became a deacon and do about anything that you ask him to do. And now he's a pastor in church down in Alabama, Alberta, Alabama. But he first came and just introduced himself. I introduced myself. And we just talked about general things. And he said these words the first time I met him. He said, if I've ever been a help to you, let me know. And I did, and we did together. And I praise the Lord for his life. There's others like that around that we met over the years you have that become dear friends because you got acquainted. It's hard to witness somebody that you don't get acquainted with. At least, you know, maybe at least you know their name. At least you know something about them. At least when you talk to them, you're trying to get the gospel to them the best you know how. But anyhow, James calls it the royal law. If we want to please God, we will treat others the way we love ourselves. And we love ourselves. That's not a prideful statement. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. We will do for others what we want done for us. So the whole principle of this golden rule, I want to live a life toward others to treat them as though I want them to treat me. I don't want them to cuss me. I don't want them to make mockery of me. They may. But I need to be sure I'm treating them right. I don't need to be cussing and fussing at them. I may have taken a firm stand. The reason why the Bible says speak the truth in love. There it is again. Pops up everywhere. Just speak the truth in love. See, somewhere along the way, you're going to meet somebody that you're going to have trouble loving. Sam P. Jones, an old preacher, Methodist preacher, studied for law, going to be a lawyer, got saved. He was a drunk besides being a lawyer. When he got saved, he really got a good dose of God's salvation in his life. And he made this statement, I jotted it down years ago, I'll forgive anybody for anything they do to me if they have treated me worse than I treated Christ. If they've treated me worse than the way I treated Jesus before I got saved, I ought to be able to forgive them for anything and say, God, help me to love you. May God help us in our Christian life to look deeper into the meaning of examining what true love is. And true love is having Jesus Christ on the inside, moving from the outside to the inside, to taking up his tabernacle and abode in our life. And what a wonderful thought that is. So the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you. Reading it one more time from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. Aren't you glad somebody loved you? Aren't you glad somebody tenderly cared for you? Aren't you glad somebody put up with your mess? Aren't you glad somebody just tolerated your life? You know, I said a while ago, it's not easy. It's easy to love people that are lovable. It's sort of hard to love somebody that's not. And sometimes you got to have more grace and more strength. Two people, man and his wife, walking down the sidewalk to a children's home years ago. They walked down the children's home and they saw two kids. They saw one with blonde hair, curly hair, river blue eyes, just a lovable, darling little kid. And they had time playing with the little child as they went by. The next one they met was a little boy, freckle face. He kicked at him, even kicked sand on him, and let out a cuss word about them coming down the sidewalk. Just a little tyke. They went in and talked to the folks at the children's home about adopting a child. Well, they said, we've got several here that needs adoption. Is there anyone you've met already? And the mother said, oh, yes. I said, well, what's his name? And she gave him the name. She said, are you serious? She said, yes, ma'am. She called out the name of the boy that was kicked sand on him and the one that cussed her. The other little girl was precious, and they probably wanted to adopt her too, and they may have later. But they saw a boy who had a lot of anger on the inside. They saw a boy who needed somebody to love him. And even though they may not be able to conquer that within time frame, they could still show love to the little boy, and they adopt that little freckle-faced, cussing, sand-kicking little boy, and they took him home to be their child. He grew up to be an outstanding young man, grew up to be a great Christian, grew up to be a great preacher, as a matter of fact. You can't think of his name, but somebody loved him. And many times that happens in life. And the main thing I'm trying to get across tonight is this. Let everybody you know you love them. You can tell them you love them. And that's not being sissified. I love you. Call people that you miss in church and say, I love you, I've been missing you. Or you see them in church. When somebody comes back to church, that's been out for a while, don't say, where in the world have you been? Don't condemn them for being out. Just say, boy, it's so good to see you. There's no new statement. So good to see you. Because they've been preached to already and probably preached to themselves more than probably they can like to admit. And they have a guilty conscience. But they need somebody who says, I love you and thanks for coming back to church. So good to see you. It's been a while, but we're glad you're here. You don't have to preach at them. When they come in the door, just love them a little bit, show our kindness. And if anybody ever lived a kind life, it was Jesus Christ. And then he says to us, be ye kind one to another. And we're supposed to love each other. So would you say it again, I love you?
I love you.
Say it one more time.
I love you.
Now say it with passion.
I love you.
I believe you love me. I'm going to say it to you, I love you. I love you. But I'm glad for the love of God that shed abroad in our hearts. It makes all the difference in the world. It'll make you love old sinners. It'll make you love the down and outers. It'll make you love the prodigals. It'll make you love everybody. You may not win them all, but they ought not to go to hell unloved. Somebody needs to love them, and the love of God goes all the way to the very mouth of hell. When those sinners drop into the judgment day of God's wrath, and they're in hell forever, God loved them all the way. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. As a matter of fact, he said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Right.
So God don't want anybody to go. He'll do everything he can. Somebody says, well, how do they get to hell? Well, you can do nothing and not repent and go to hell. Or you can climb over top of the mercies of God, over the mercies of other folks, over people's caring for you. You can go over top of that and drop into hell someday just because you rejected Jesus Christ. May God help us tonight. I want us to be a loving church. You keep doing it. Many of you have been a blessing to so many. And let's just keep continuing that relationship that folks know. They may not agree with us, may not always like what we do, but you can love somebody and then let them know you love them. That's not always easy to do, is the reason I said it first. I said it in the middle, I said it at the end. It is not easy to love folks like you love yourself. But Jesus said, do it. So all I'm calling you to do is just weigh it out in your own mind, what you think it means. It may mean something deeper than I've mentioned tonight. I'm sure it goes deeper than I've even thought. But loving your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus showed compassion to the man on the road to Jericho. And he loved him. He was a stranger to him, but he loved him. And bound up his wounds and took him to the hotel to take care of him. And said he'd be paying the bill for the guy. We call him the Good Samaritan. Thank God for people like that who still love others as they love themselves, how they like to be treated if it's on reversal shoes. Father, thank you for helping me get through these few words tonight. I realize they were frail. I realize they were broken. But some way take the power of thy written word and thy spoken word, blend them together that they make a relationship very important. Because what we live with is not rules. We don't live with that. We live with relationships. Just loving you and loving each other. We don't always get the same in return. But Lord, we want to do as we want should be treated. Help us to love you with all our heart and make all the difference in the world. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, please, for prayer. If you need to come, you come. It might be just good to come and say, Lord, help me love somebody. Maybe somebody you don't love tonight. Maybe somebody on the street. Maybe somebody in the family. Maybe you work with. Somebody that maybe just taken everything you've done for spite. May God help us to love you tenderly and graciously. Father, bless the invitation in Jesus.